So again, welcome back. So I want to pray over the word and the message before we begin. So let's go to the Lord in our prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we thank you to be present in your house today. We thank you for the friends and all that those who are gathered here and the families also as they represent those who are absent from our presence. Be with them, Lord. We come to you and we share and lift up to you your glory. We thank you for your presence in our life. As we read your word and as we share in this message prepared, help us to receive it into our spirits and our souls and well beyond. Help us to share it with each other, with our children, with our friends, with our extended families, and those who we even don't know and we call them strangers. Lord, for it is our accountability to you that we serve you as you have served us. All these things we ask in this blessing this morning. So this scripture, our title of the sermon this morning is Mercy, Not Fairness. And so it comes from Romans 6, 1 through 20. And it too is a long scripture. Not set purposefully, but it is important that we read the entire passage of Romans 6. And this is entitled, Sin's Power is Broken. Sin's power is broken. So let's go to the Lord and see what he has to say this morning. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him also in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may have new lives ourselves. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will always be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we now will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive in God through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. I'm going to repeat that to you. You now, this morning, live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey his teachings. Thus we have been forgiven. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I am using this illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurities and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to the righteous, living so that you will become truly holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now do those things that lead to holiness as a result of your eternal life with God. Finally, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, welcome back to your 29th page in chapter 1 of your book, Me and God. Do you realize your first chapter is almost finished? You are just pages away from entering into your second chapter. My question to you this morning is, what can you look back on and be proud of in your 29 pages? How has God communicated to you over the past several pages? But yet, I think better the question is, how have you communicated on His behalf? What have you done for Him? In saying that, have you made an effort to invite a friend into your book? Or better yet, as a congregant said to me several weeks ago, what happens if your friends can't physically come? So my question to you this morning is, have you made an effort to seek your friend's face and simply include them in your book? Have you taken the time to call them, go visit with them? Because of their situation, maybe they can't come and worship with you this morning. That's the question. I guess it's your book. Write it any way you want. You and God, you both are writing it. As your shepherd, I'm just going to check in on you from time to time and rattle your pages a bit. Make you think. I have a friend who always ends their question, "Hey, just asking for a friend." So this morning, hey, I'm just asking for a friend. Rattle on your pages a bit. What's your book look like? So I leave my inquiry about your book right there. Just asking for a friend. As Christians, we are challenged daily to find a path in the world that we live in. And that challenge is to be good representatives of our faith. After all, as Christ's disciples, that is what we are responsible for, is it not? Over the past couple weeks, I will admit to you, I have been extremely challenged to stay on course in this endeavor. I consider myself a godly man, no greater than you are as a godly person. But I too have been challenged greatly. Sometimes life just simply pushes us to the end of our rope. My grandfather called this doing life, he said. And then my dad called it, well, it's just swimming upstream. Both of these mentors were right in their analogy. This morning I want to discuss another mentor of ours. He's Paul. Paul calls it in Romans, the author of Romans, he calls this not doing life or swimming upstream. He calls it something else. All of us are familiar with it. And frankly, we abuse it every chance we get. Unfortunately, we do. Paul calls this mercy. As I personally battled against greed and selfishness over the past several weeks that culminated this week, I found myself submersed in God's Word looking for direction because I broke. My wife can tell you I broke. I'd had it. I was done. But I went looking for direction. And for 5 days, I have pounded this keyboard trying to provide you a message to culminate some of those things that we all face. In my study, though, I wanted God to show me fairness. I was looking for God to direct me to equal footing and personal justice. I wanted to be right. And in some of those cases, I think I was right. But doesn't matter. Instead, what I found God giving me back was a shovel full. Each and every time I looked for fairness and accuracy and equal footing, I seen Him throwing mercy at my feet by the shovel fulls. You know, we all want fairness, don't we? Sure we do. We want to be treated right. We want to be shown respect with impartial and just treatment. We want no favoritism. We simply want what's fair. If it's good for someone else, it's certainly good for us. And we don't want to be discriminated against. Or do we? I thought throughout my battles and my time in studying Scripture over these past weeks, that's what I wanted. I wanted fairness. But what I really was striving for was mercy. You see, I went to God looking for all these things that I expected. And He kept shoveling mercy at my feet. You see, what He was trying to say is, Derek, knock it off. You're wrong. You're right. But you're wrong. My dad used to say, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You see, God was saying you need to show some compassion and forgiveness towards those things that you're struggling with and the issues surrounding you that create your struggle. It was difficult. And I will tell you again, I failed miserably in my mind and in the sight of other people that were just as close to me. But the Lord led me through it. Today, here before you, I truly do stand in peace because of what I have learned in my study and in my faith. I thank God this morning for bringing these issues before me because they have only made me stronger in my faith. Actually, I know this is going to be hard to believe, but I trust God more today than I did yesterday. If you can wrap your head around that statement, the truth is you likely do too. See, you have the same struggles. We all do, because we're not perfect. But yet, if you trust in God, you work in your faith, and you work it out through your faith, you trust God more today than you did yesterday. With that said, as each of you concludes your first chapter and enter into your second chapter in just a few pages, February is upon us, think about what I am about to say in the next few minutes. Looking back on history and knowing what we know today, how can we be judged for something Adam did 1,000 years ago? It doesn't seem fair now, does it? I mean, it was so long ago, and he broke what God gave him, and sin became real and present in our lives. Why are we judged for his actions? Many of us find it easy to point fingers at others, blaming them for our lot in life, accusing them that they are the root of our problems. It's easy to point fingers. Easy to lay blame. Say it's their fault because we have this situation. It's their fault because we are struggling. Easy to do that. Terribly easy to do that. Paul makes it clear in Romans, though, that Adam's failures, the failures of our ancestors, and the failures of those things around us, to include in our personal lives and also the people around us, are not our primary concern. We would think they are, but they're not. Granted, our problems may have been started by the mistakes of others or our mistakes personally, but we are the ones that have aligned ourselves with Adam by repeatedly making the same old mistakes. Let's face it, we are made of the same stuff that Adam was. We are prone to rebel and rebel when we get mad and frustrated because we don't understand what God's showing us through our trials and tribulations. I didn't either until I went looking for fairness and He choked mercy down my throat. When we rebel and dismiss God's plan in life, when we look beyond it because we believe it to be wrong, we still suffer the same consequences of the old sin that we used to have. If God doesn't intervene in our life, we will drown in it. Friends, we do not need fairness from God. We need His mercy. And this is the very thing He provides to each of us when we look to Him in our faith. When we go looking for answers in our relationship, just like that magnet is to the children, our life, whether upside down, God is attached to it. And when we look for Him first, we find that mercy. You see, Paul in Scripture this morning tells us that we stand forgiven and joyful in God's grace. And here in these words, Paul also adds a bigger punch to it, doesn't he? Scripture declares this morning that the essential nature of God's grace is that it rules over the presence of sin and death in the world. Rules over sin and death. While it is true that Adam's failures brought on the reign of sin and death, Jesus was the game changer. Jesus changed everybody's minds. He brought a new game to town. The life of Jesus was brought to us to reign over death and sin through life and grace for all who are willing to accept and receive it. Friends, as Christians, our old lives represented the rule of sin and certain death through Adam. Whether it was 1,000 years ago or not, we're still living in the same sin He created. However, our new lives in Jesus Christ represents the rule of God's grace and mercy, kindness and love. As we surrender our lives to God, we can begin to receive these wonderful gifts. Thus, upon receipt, we can share them even in our most trying moments. This is true mercy over fairness. I don't want to throw you off the road that I'm trying to keep you on here this morning, but think about this. If God loves to forgive, why not just sin and give Him plenty of opportunities to forgive us? Great plan. Some of us spend a lifetime doing it. But here's the truth. You and I don't want to admit the truth, but here's the truth. We actually act on this principle all too often. Scripture response to our use of this excuse of sin, this repetitive behavior, is an empathetic no. If you read what Paul and listen to what Paul said to you this morning, it's absolutely. He's empathizing with us, but he's telling you absolutely not. This attitude is presumptuous, he says. It presumes upon God's grace and makes light, makes fun of the tremendous cost of our salvation. Is this fair, I ask you? Remember, it's a salvation you don't deserve. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. It's an unthinkable, it's actually unthinkable that we would continue to allow sin to be our master when we have surrendered ourselves to God. But all too often we do this. Thus, it isn't fair. And yet we do it. And still we receive mercy by the shovels full. In Scripture this morning, we are taught how we can receive new life through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It traces the stages of Jesus' life. First, the earthly body was subject to death. Second, the death, the burial, and resurrection. Third, his resurrected body that was no longer under the power of death because he was gone. He was resurrected out of the tomb. Then Scripture parallels us. If you had attended Bible study in our first work group, it was called 52 Weeks with Jesus. The very first book in the work group was Misfits Among Misfits. It paralleled our relationship, who we are, to Christ Jesus Himself. You see, Jesus came to the world not only to share in our human lives, but to understand us or allow us to understand Him better. Thus, He was also a misfit too. If you go back in the stories of Christ, He was dismissed a lot. And He was cast out and thought to be a misfit. So there again, it parallels us. In the beginning of time, in the beginning of Christ's life, it parallels our human life with Him. And thus we find in Romans this morning, it doing the same thing, paralleling us to God. First, we begin, as you and I do, under the mastery of sin and death. Second, we identify with Christ's death. We understand it. We begin to believe it. Then we begin to understand the burial and the resurrection and what it means to each one of us. And third, we receive new lives in Christ Jesus through our acceptance of Him and our faith, which makes us free from the power of sin and death. We are free people because we live in a wonderful nation, but regardless of where we live, as Christians, we are truly free. We are free from sin always because of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. Friends, this is mercy over fairness. What we are owed in fairness is hell. What we are given in mercy is salvation. Christ Jesus has the power to take all of us headed for our own destruction and set us free from our own demise and set us on the right road to eternal life. He has that power. The road begins here today at Bethel on page 29, chapter 1. In short, you can't handle fairness. You need mercy. So give it. Share it. And live it. Just so we are clear, we all are accountable to God. Thus, we must follow the road He besets. Sometimes that's painful. But it's accountable. And accountability is another page and another chapter, perhaps another sermon. But I want to be clear, we're not talking about accountability to God. So as we leave today, let's go in love and peace and mercy, living in God's mercy and sharing it with those around us, regardless of the rabbit holes that life sends us down. I'm going all the way back to the opening paragraph. What's chapter 1 look like? What have you done in the 29 pages you've written? And what are you going to do on the 30th page? You see, I'm just simply asking for a friend. Amen.